Pray this in his name. Amen.
All right, before you sit down, let's do the reading for today. It is out of Psalm 127, just three verses, and verse 3-5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. This is the word of the Lord. All right, you guys can have a seat. If you would, open up your Bibles to Psalm 127. We'll be there today. Again, we're a church that encourages hard copies. Not that this is the only way that you can read. But we do encourage it. And so today we're putting on really the bow on this series that we've been really walking through since January. We've been studying Integrity 101 based upon Psalm 101. And we're going to put the bow on the series today. We made a resolution back in January that as people who have received God's riches, his grace, his mercy, his salvation, eternal life, forgiveness, all because of our faith in Christ alone. We've made a resolution because of that, that we were not going to walk as half Christians. We were going to walk as whole Christians in every single aspect of our lives, private to public. We said that we were going to walk in integrity from what we look at with our eyes, from the words that we say, from our tongues and our thumbs, either one. We are going to walk with integrity in our finances, our family, our relationships with marriage and our relationships with sex. And today, we're going to simply wrap up the entire thing, beginning to talk about the relationships with our children. There's just not really one single aspect of a Christian life that Jesus does not lord over and long to show us where true pleasure and happiness is found. Not one area. And so today we wrap it up with this idea of our relationships with children. One of my favorite things I get to do as a pastor, I know I feel like I say that all the time. There's a lot of things I enjoy doing. But one of my most favorite things is when one of the members of our church, families, they have newborn babies. And I have this great honor and privilege to go to their homes and visit them. And when I do that, I always read Psalm 127 with them. It's a great, great passage because it tells us what children are and what a good and successful parent does with them. It's a great passage. So as we talk about this idea of relationships with children today, I realize who's in the room. I'm not ignorant to the fact that some of you are here and you don't have children today. I realize that. You may not be raising children right now, but here's the reality. We all need a proper theology of children. We all need it, no matter what stage of life that you are in fact in. Because the reality is that some of you will be parents one day, Lord willing, and then others, you may have passed that season or you're not into the child-rearing kind of phase of your life. But here's the reality. We all have a glad responsibility as spiritual fathers and mothers of the church. We all have that responsibility to help train and shape the children here because God grows his children in the garden of the church too, not just at homes. So we all have a glad responsibility to pull in here and talk about the idea of parenting today. I'm also realizing that I'm speaking already to a group of parents who might be riddled and filled with a lot of parent regret. We talk about the topic of parenting, and it just we start to get flooded with these ideas of the regrets that we have, maybe the guilt and the shame from all of our parent fails. And so if that's you, I mean, you know who you are already. Believe me, I know what that feels like. I absolutely know what that feels like. And so I just want to say to you today, before we start talking about parenting, this is exactly what Christ specializes in. This is the thing that he came to do, to remove regrets, to slay sin and shame and guilt. So if in fact you have professed your faith in Christ and you prove it because you follow him, listen, if there's any guilt or shame that remains inside of you, it's not from God. It is either from your unbelief or it is either from the accuser of the saints, that is the devil. And so you need to preach the gospel to yourself, flee the enemy, and get back to what God has called you to do today. All right? And that, listen, that's all of us right there. And so let's move forward in our parenting idea today. Lastly, I think there's probably another group here of struggling parents. The strugglers, the exhausted, the tired, who are knee deep in diapers that are blowing up, throw up, spit up, kids acting up. We got kids that are fighting with each other. We've got kids that are fighting with you as parents. We've got kids that are fighting with God. Listen, if that's you, you're in a safe place today. You can leave your faux Instagram family at home. You don't need it here where everything is just good all the time. You don't need to do that here. We're all wrestling here. We're all struggling. There are no perfect parents among us. So breathe easy. At the same time, we are also pursuing perfection. I want to make sure that's clear. We're not resting in our imperfection. No, we're trying to be better parents. We're actually trying to be a lot better and not just resting in that. So with all of that being said, let's get into Psalm 127. All right, so let's look at this passage here. And if you'll notice, probably in your subheadings of Psalm 127, you'll see it's probably called the Song of Ascents. I don't know if you pay attention to things like that, but this is a song. This is a song that was probably sung by Jewish pilgrims as they hiked up a hill, Mount Zion, a real ascent, up to Mount Zion, because they were going to worship God at this great feast. That's where they were headed, right? They were entering the gates of Jerusalem to go to this great big feast. So they're singing the song. And get this, on this trip would have been probably somewhere between 3 to 7 days long, hiking up a hill. And guess what? Their kids were with them. Can you imagine that trip? Are we there yet? How much longer? You know, just probably the whining, the moaning, the grumbling of the children. What will, just imagine that, just put your imagination on for just a moment. With your mind's eye, imagine taking your kids on this trip. Or being a church that's all hiking up the same place. Just imagine for just a moment what the posture or the mindset of the parents would be, or the rest of the congregation and how they were thinking about these kids. Maybe they don't have kids. Are they sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, these kids are slowing us down. What a burden they are, a nuisance, a hindrance. Some of these parents, they should have got a babysitter and left them back. Is that possibly what they were thinking? Well, let's look. Verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. This church is acknowledging that every single one of these children are a heritage from the Lord, a gift from God. Not a burden, but a blessing. Because they know that these are God's good gifts to them. They want children. They seek children. They pray for children. Because they ultimately see them rightly as God sees them, as his good and gracious gifts to them. What a scorching rebuke that is to a culture that does not see children rightly as God sees them. The birth rates have been plummeting for the past 75 years in our country. They're just going down. People are not having babies. Several reasons, of course, why. One of those is the evil ideology of individualism that has been soaked in our culture over the past 30 years. Individualism, where you have people chasing after their selfish goals. I'm going to chase the dreams. I'm going to be whatever I want to be, and I want to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to have this great career. I'm going after everything that my heart desires. Freedoms. Parenting is simply too small for them. It's a small thing. It's insignificant. There's so much bigger and better things to do than have children. I say no way. I say there is nothing bigger and better than having children. One of the things that I see at our church that gives me great encouragement, maybe you pay attention to these things, maybe you don't. There's a couple little girls here. Sadie Long and Sophia Perez, and from the time that they were little, they would bring little baby dolls to church with them. Just have little baby dolls, and they'd bring them to church with them, and it was awesome. They didn't come to church with their briefcases, playing CEO, sideline referee, superhero, or soldier. They were playing mommy. Why? Because it's awesome. Because having children is good. God made them for it. It's big. It's one of the best things that God has called them to do. Children are gifts. There's nothing bigger and better than having children. There are some other reasons why people don't have children. I think economy is probably one of the excuses we hear today why people don't have children. And listen, I get it. It's hard, right? People are stretched. You can't get eggs, whatever. You know, it's just hard, right? They postpone having kids because they just simply can't afford them. I say you can't afford to not have them. Someone once said that children don't make rich men poor, they make poor men rich. And I believe that. And I know that you do too. So downsize your house if you have to. Trade in your new car. Do whatever you got to do because the Bible is clear. Children are a blessing. They are gifts from God. And that means all of them too, by the way. That means even the unplanned ones are gifts. That means the biological children. That means adopted children. That means fostered children. That means even children who were not conceived according to God's good design, where you had a father and a mother both present. Even those children are gifts. Even, you know, we clearly know that's not an excuse for cheap hookups and starting a bunch of daddy drama, mama, baby drama, all that stuff. Like, that's not an excuse for that. God's good design is still to give the gift to the husband and the wife, the mother and the father. But they're all gifts. Children themselves are gifts. Think about looking at your children, our children, and remembering their gifts. That means their gifts at 3 a.m. in the morning when they're screaming because they're hungry or because they had one of those explosive diapers. You know, it's like leaking out the side, one of those things. Parents count it all joy when you meet diapers of various kinds. They're still gifts. Still gifts. Toddlers throwing tantrums. Still gifts. Moody teenagers. Still gifts. Adult children who've moved out of the house and continue to make bad decisions are still gifts. So I think there's obviously you understand, we're to look at them as gifts. Parents, look at your children. Tell them they are precious gifts that God has given to you. We're thankful for you. God has given. Just tell them that. Doesn't mean that you approve of everything that they do, but you acknowledge that they are God's gift to you. For our congregation, and just like the congregation was marching up the hill, they didn't always have kids. They didn't all have kids, but they're all singing the song. So our church should also be a congregation that sees all of our children as gifts. We need to be thankful for our noisy churches sometimes. Buildings, this auditorium, when it gets a little noisy sometimes, we need to be thankful for noisy churches that are filled with wiggles and screams of children. Because I would say that the silence of a church without children is deafening. You wanna listen to a dying church? Walk into it. You won't hear any kids crying. And I don't think that's us. I think this church is loving the fact that there are a lot of children around here as well. So that is our mindset. Let me say this before we move on. Parents, one of the ways that you publicly acknowledge that your child is a gift from God and you are to give your child back to God is through child dedication here at our church. And so that's coming up. I wanna plug that really quickly on March 23rd. If you're a parent and you've had a child as a believer, and you want to acknowledge that they are a gift from God and you need help and you want to publicly proclaim that, that's for you. That won't save them, but it is a publicly acknowledging that they are God's gift for you. So I want to encourage you, parent, in that. If that's something you could celebrate with our church, sign up for that on March the 23rd. Now let's keep going. Children are gifts from God. However, they are not for us to do with them whatever we want to do. They're not just for us to be used as accessories for our lives. They are God's gift to us to steward for Him. For Him. For His purpose and for His glory. And this is to do that. To care for God's children that He gives to us, that is not easy. In fact, it's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. This is why, look what Solomon said in verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. So children are not just our heirs, they are our arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now here, this warrior, if you'll read the passage in full later, this warrior is specifically talking about the father. You'll read the language. I don't need it. It's for the father, because the father is the leader, the spiritual leader of the home. Now, this still applies to both parents. So these arrows are both a father and a mother. They're both warriors, and they have arrows in their hand. And notice, he's a warrior that got married and had children in his youth. Okay? We talked about this recently. Don't delay what God says is good. Let me just leave it at that. But why arrows? It seems a weird kind of simile to describe a child, an arrow. Why? I think it suggests three things. And this is where we'll spend our time together today, is unpacking arrows, these three things. The first thing, arrows must be shaped and sharpened. They must be shaped and sharpened. So in Solomon's day, a warrior who had to fight in a battle, before he would fight in a battle, he needed some arrows, right? And so he wouldn't just go around on the ground and just pick up any stone that he would find. That's not what he would do. That stone would be rough and irregular shaped. It wouldn't be formed. It wouldn't look like an arrow. And he surely couldn't go down to Dick's Sporting Goods or Bass Pro Shops and pick up a perfectly shaped and sharpened arrow. He would have to look around. He would grab a stone or wood or whatever they made it out of, and he would have to carefully and skillfully shape and sharpen the arrow before it went to battle. He had to do that. We are parents, spiritual warriors. We are. And the problem is our arrows in their original condition are like us. They're bent, they're irregular, they're not formed because they're separated from God just like us. And they also must be shaped and sharpened before we send them out into the battle. Now I want to park here for just a second, not too long, but one of the fears I have is that we often send out our arrows into the world and worldly institutions and worldly systems as arrows before they have been shaped and sharpened. And they're not ready for the battle. They cause much harm, and much harm comes to them. They're not ready to go into the battle yet. Before we send our kids out into the very dark enemy territory, they have to be shaped and they have to be sharpened. They have to be. It will require parents who are willing to do the exhilarating but exhausting work of godly parenting. Godly parenting, not gentle parenting. Y'all, have y'all heard that phrase maybe before? I think this lady coined it in 2015, gentle parenting. Let me just say this out of the gate. You will never shape and sharpen your arrows doing gentle parenting. Gentle parenting is this idea of parenting that is centered around the mutual respect between a parent and a child. It's very centered around the child's feelings or emotions. It's very positive. It's very soft. It's very affirming to the child. It erases the God-given authority of a parent over a child. It erases terms like sin and judgment and punishment. Not only does it do that, it creates children that no one wants to be around. You've probably seen it displayed. Maybe you're standing in line at Walmart or something. You see a parent and a child, and you see this kid who acts out, and then a young mom comes up and says, Johnny, what kind of choice do you want to make here in this moment? What are you feeling right now in this very moment that's causing you to act such a way? Or Maybe it's a coming to Mary. I see that you're upset. Can you tell me, in your own ways, what you're feeling right now in this moment? Or it's a mom who says, "Son, what else can you do to show me why you're frustrated without making your sister feel unsafe in this moment?" It's a lot of that. It's the kind of parenting that will not shape and sharpen your child. It simply won't do it. It'll lead to things like this. My kid doesn't want to do this or that. I don't want to force the Bible on my child. I don't want to make them go to church, because then they might rebel and they might reject the things. I would just much more affirm them, who they are, build them up, be friends with them. I just don't want to impress upon them my specific views. I don't want to supervise them. I don't want to correct them, and I don't want to discipline them. I don't want to punish them at all. We've seen, you may have seen some of these trends in some of the younger generation of gentle parenting. This one guy, David Thomas, said that gentle parenting is the mistaken kindness of parents that has ever proved the greatest curse to children. Wow. Lord, church, this is going to require godly parenting. We are going to have to shape, and we are going to have to sharpen our arrows. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Our arrows need formation. They need formation. Look at a couple passages here. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. When does the training of a child begin? You know, it doesn't really start at when they start talking, or when they can fully understand what you're saying, or when they can memorize scripture. That's not when the training of a child begins. Training of a child, I would even make the argument, begins before they're even born, but let's just say they're born. From day one, we begin shaping our arrows by praying over them, by swaddling them, by snuggling with them, by singing to them. These are all ways that we start to shape and sharpen the arrows. Another way that we start to shape and sharpen them is we start to get them accustomed and adjusted to our schedules, parents, not to theirs. Not to be parents who are slaves to snack times and nap times. Listen, I know they need naps. I get it. I've got a toddler in my house. But here's what I'm saying. These arrows are in the hand of the warrior. The warrior's not in the hand of the child. We are the ones who dictate their schedules, and they just adjust to us. This is what it means to shape and to sharpen our children. And as they do age, of course, we begin to teach them the things of God. Look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Parents, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. I think Moses and Paul is agreeing here that our houses are to be the first school and the first church that our children experience. I read one time, it was this idea that if every house had a family altar, place of worship, that if every house had a family altar, many a family would be altered. Let us make our houses into little churches. Arrows also will require correction. So formation, yes, but also correction. Look at Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Parents, when we know that a loving father, our father, our God, disciplines those who he loves, right? So when we fail to discipline our children, we are giving them a very, very false representation of what God is like. But when we do discipline our children, we are rightly showing them what God is like. We need to love our children enough to give them the correction. Thomas Guthrie says that if a parent never punishes their children will be sure to punish them in one way or the other. Listen, correcting our children, think of it in the idea of sharpening our children, like sharpening an arrow. If you sharpen an arrow, it's probably going to create some sparks. Right? Sharpening your arrows, it will create some sparks. There will be friction. There will be some fighting between your child and you. They're not going to love it. They're not going to be like, oh, so thank you so much for disciplining me today. There's going to be sparks. Might be sparks between the parents. But it is right and it is good. Our arrows must be shaped and they must be aimed. Remember what we're doing here and the shaping and the sharpening of our arrows. Ultimately, what we're doing is we're not saving our children. Think of it like we're trying to begin and prepare a fire of faith, meaning we're like throwing kindling onto the fire in the hopes that one day God would ignite faith into their heart. He would create the spark of belief in them by his grace and grace alone. But our part is to get the kindling ready, to prepare the fire and call it down. Arrows are shaped and sharpened. Again, second point here, arrows are also aimed. Arrows are aimed. So think again, back into the warrior mentality. And a warrior wouldn't just grab an arrow and just haphazardly fire it whatever he'd want to do, wherever it would go. That would, of course, potentially cause a lot of harm, right? You shoot an arrow without aiming it, it could cause a lot of harm or ineffective. It just lands on the ground, it's of no use whatsoever, or it causes great harm. The archer, the warrior, has to carefully and skillfully aim the arrow at the right target, the right direction. What is the target that we are aiming our arrows at? Think about that for a moment. That's an internal, like, what are you aiming your arrows at? What's the target? Is it A's and B's? Is it the honor roll? Is it a lot of academic or athletic awards? Is that the target? Dreams and degrees and D1 scholarships, is that the target? Is the target fame, influence, a lot of followers, careers, money? Is the target morality? Hey, man, I just want to produce a son, doesn't get arrested and go to jail. I just want to produce a daughter who doesn't get pregnant before she's married. That's all I want to do. Is that the target? Is the target just making sure that our arrows are conservative? Think bigger. Let's think bigger for just a moment. If that's your target, then your thinking is too small. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with any of those things, by the way. I want to make sure there's nothing evil about any of the list I've just said. But here's the deal. Your arrows can hit all of those targets, and they can miss God by a million miles. We aim our arrows at those targets. They will miss, and they will go in the wrong direction. They will cause great harm, or great harm will come to them. They will rebel against God. They will rebel against God, against the church. We have to point them to the right target. What is the target? Jesus. That's the Sunday school answer, right? That's the target. Seeking Christ above all things, pointing our children at Jesus, pointing them towards professing faith in Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, pointing them to profess their belief in baptism, pointing them to love Jesus and love Jesus' church too. Pointing them to get married in their youth, to start families. For sons, pointing them to embrace your masculinity. For young ladies, embrace your femininity. Love God, love the church, evangelize the lost, make disciples. Fight the devil, fight for justice. This is the target that we're aiming our children at. For the glory of God and the service to the kingdom and their generation. This is where we aim our arrows. The last thing is this. Arrows are shot. Arrows are shot. Now, some of you might be thinking, RC, do you mean it's okay to shoot our kids? Did he literally just say, shoot our arrows? Of course, that would be illegal, right? The Bible frowns upon us shooting our children, even though you might feel like it sometimes. But, so I don't mean shot at, I mean shot out. Shot out. No matter how carefully you shape or sharpen your arrows, they won't go anywhere if you don't shoot them. If they stay in the quiver, the arrow is useless. And it doesn't hit the target. This is a good word for us as parents, that we today would begin to parent in such a way that we know one day we are going to shoot our arrows. I know that's a struggle sometimes for overprotective fathers and some others who want to cling to their children and not let them go. But there is going to be a day where you won't have Life 360 on your children. It's going to be a day where you're not going to know where they are, what they're doing all day long. Some of you are like, praise the Lord, I don't want to do that, right? There's just going to be a day where you can't tell them what to do. And you can't make all their decisions for them. And your control will start to lessen. There's going to be a day for that. So that's supposed to help us today to start to prepare to shoot our arrows. To shoot our arrows. Start planning today. And here's this idea when we do that. Some of us is like, you're like ready to launch the arrow. And then some others are like, man, it's got these little, my children are so precious. I didn't even think about that. I don't even start to think about that, right? The reality is, this is how God created them. This is how God wired them. And this is, you are the warrior that's going to let these arrows fly. And it's going to take faith. It's going to take a lot of strength. It's going to take a lot of faith, a lot of trust in a big, big God to shoot the arrow. I think the picture of the idea is that we're going to draw back with these strong arms of prayer, that we draw back the bow of faith and we launch these burning arrows for Jesus that are aimed at the devil's head and the glory of God. That's what we will do one day. And let us begin to prepare to do that today for the glory of God. When we do that, when we do these things, I want to show you really quickly Psalm 127. This is the beautiful promises of God. Look at verse 5. He says, "Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." So Solomon says, happy is the man. That's the translation. Happy is the man who has a lot of children in his quiver. He's happy. Did you know that God is a God who fights tirelessly for your happiness? I hope we see God like that. I hope we see that every good command in the Bible, that God is ferociously fighting for our happiness. He says, happy is this man who has a lot of children. Will he have more trials and more troubles because of his children? Probably. But he's also going to have more happiness according to God's word here. Not only is he happy when he is old, the children that he fought for when they were young will now stand at the gate and they will fight for the parents. That's what the psalm says. So all this tireless, this labor we do to fight for our children, one day when we become a little older and they become a little bit older too, they will stand up and they will see us as parents of integrity. And the enemy will be intimidated by the faith of our children. That's what the psalmist is saying. Today, we are going to launch one of our arrows from Life Point Stewart's Creek. Okay? This sets up really, really well. And so I want to bring out Lily Garrett along with the Garrett family. I know they're back there because I've heard them like twice. Let's call it what it is, you know? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, let's kind of line up here. Let me tell you what's kind of going on here. All right? Y'all come on up here, mate. Come on. All right. So basically what we're doing here today is Lily Garrett is going to be leaving for Brussels on Wednesday. She's been prepping and preparing and getting ready to go out and be the arrow that is launched there. And then you've got Ryan and Megan here, just they're warriors and they're ready to shoot the arrow. And so if all of the words of scripture that are promising today, number one, we, as hard as this may be for y'all to send her out, by the way, she's gonna be gone for 3 months. I don't know if I said that, but so she's coming back. The arrow's coming back. It's not leaving forever, but this is supposed to be something that makes you happy. And I know it does. Is it a little scary? Yeah, I'm sure it is gonna be hard letting go of you as the arrow, but this is something that also God calls good. It's gonna create a lot of happiness, and obviously for Lily and Eli as well, just to be a part of this and see your sister and go do these things. But she's gonna be going there for 3 months to the Brussels campus to get on the ground there and fight the devil. And do the things and preach the gospel there in Brussels. And so we're thankful today that's a day that really cap off this idea of shooting at this arrow. And so you might shoot your arrows across the world. It might be across the street. No matter where it is, God still calls it good. So we want to pray for them today. And so I want to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand. We do, at our church, anytime we send someone out in a capacity of ministry that we're preparing for a very localized and specialized thing, is we kind of commission them and we pray. And so an extending of your arms is a form of your blessing on God, on her life, for protection and all the things he's gonna use them for. So let's do that together. And let's get in here and we'll pray and thank the Lord, all right? Father, we thank you for Lily Garrett, who is a gift from you, straight heritage from your good hand. You have given her to Ryan and to Megan. They acknowledge that. They know it. They don't just know it. They believe it. They live it out. And they have so carefully shaped her and they have sharpened her. They have carved away the things that don't look like Jesus and formed her to look more like Christ. They have aimed her in the right direction for the glory of God. And Jesus seeking him in all things. And so today is a day of shooting the arrow. God, go with Lily. Protect her, guard her in Christ Jesus. Use her for your glory to fight the enemy in Brussels, to bring life through the gospel. And God, while she is there, God, just comfort Ryan and Megan and Eli and Lily here, and just that they would love her well from a distance, and you would bring her home safely and to the next, prepare her for the next season of her life where you launch her again out into the world. God, thank you for being such a good God and for obedient parents. We ask you these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thank y'all. Proud of you, sweetie. Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all sit back down because we ain't done. We just got to get Ryan out from the backstage back there for so before he trips and falls in a minute. We are wrapping up, but listen, let me just end by kind of saying what we all need to hear today. I know there's a lot of different seasons of life and different people represented today, parents or not parents, but we will all have regrets. We all have them. And so if you're here today and it's hard for you to think of regrets that you have in your life as a parent or not a parent, the reality is the Bible would say that you're not looking at yourself rightly, that you're probably suffering from some sin blindness in some way. We've all failed and fall short of the glory of God as individuals, as parents, as children, as all people. But here's the good news. For those who are willing to admit that, the gospel goes there. It goes right to the place that is full of regret, shame, and guilt. It gets into the deepest, darkest places of our hearts and gives us great hope. Our sin ledger reads probably with 10 million regrets in our life. By the time we're done, there'll be 10 million regrets on our ledger. But for those who have faith in Christ, it will say canceled out, and it will say no record. No record at all. That is the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that we all need here today. Parent or not parent, we all need the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if you're a deacon in the room this hour and you're available for responding to our people, would you go ahead and come forward? I want to give a couple of small things to do on the way out back into the idea of parenting, okay? Our church, there are a lot of different ways that we can apply some of the things that we talked about today. I want to list a couple of ways that we're going to help in the parenting realm as a church. One sermon on a Sunday ain't fixing nothing. I'm telling you right there. It won't do it. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And so a couple of things that we're going to do, Callie and me, let me see which one might be up first, and I'll talk about that one. Here we go. All right, so first, starting on that date, March the 8th, on Saturday, Callie, my wife, is going to be sitting down working with the excellent woman. She's going to help walk through wife things, mom things, parenting things. So 4 weeks intently, she's going to specialize in that. And then on Wednesday nights here, for me, I'm doing a thing called the Leading Man. It's going to start on March the 5th, and I'm going to take the husbands, and we're going to walk through what a leading man looks like as a husband, as a father. We're going to start putting some things on the ground here, helping you do the things that we're preaching about as a church. These things, we don't do these things often, especially me and Callie, but these things are very near and dear to our heart, and we're very passionate about it, and we want to help you become the parents and the people and all the things God's created us to be. We want to help you do those things today. All right? So last thing is this, as we send out. Today, if you're here and you want to speak with anyone today, any of our deacons, about professing faith in Christ, if you want help as a parent, if you want prayer as a parent here today, struggling, if you want counseling, just come grab somebody up here, have them pray. They'll walk through some next steps with you. But we want to thank you for coming today. If you're a guest, don't forget to maybe give that little blue card to somebody on the way out the door. But thank you guys for coming. Excited to see you next week. We'll start a new series. All right, I'll tell you about it next week. Have a great day. All right.